Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We read before the prayer again in Romans chapter 12. Now, if you have not been a part of our Wednesday services or this telecast, you can go back on YouTube and stream the previous two messages, because this will be part three in our study of Romans chapter number 12, where the Bible just sets up this, I feel like, vital word, especially for where we are in our society, and this not being conformed to the world. This particular message comes on the heels of a series that we were in dealing with ancient spirits and modern culture. And if you hadn't streamed that one, I encourage you to go back and pull that, because Jesus has called us to be in this world, but not of this world. And what I really feel led to deal with, and the reason why we came back for a part three, was because I want to drive home this point of understanding how to have a worldview that is based on the Word of God. Am I viewing the world through the lens of God's Word? Is that how I see society? Is that how I see my life? Am I viewing the world through the lens of God's Word, also called a biblical worldview? And if you don't know, our dear friend Dr. Glenn Schultz in Kingdom Education Ministries, I encourage you to pull him up and get his teachings in your life. He is the author of the books, Kingdom Education. And this man's conviction has shaped mine. And I know he is also a mentor of our head of school, Mr. Euler, just an amazing teacher with great conviction of God's Word, especially as it relates to parenting and education and teaching children how to have a biblical worldview. And so I want to deal with that. And it was why I didn't have peace to wrap this series up last week. I felt like we needed to get back into this, because verse 2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world." Now, as we've studied, that word "world" is used in two different ways in the New Testament. When you pull out the Greek definition, the word "world" is either dealing with the word cosmos, which represents an order or a system, or it is dealing with the word eon, which means a time or an age. And so in every age, the system and the order of our world changes. Now, when you read a verse like John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world," it's not in reference to the system. It's not referring to necessarily a certain age. It is referring to a perpetual population of people from the first man all the way to the last. "For God so loved the population of the world," not necessarily the system or the age of the world. And we're living in a peculiar time. I don't think any of us, saved or lost, could look at the world right now and say, "Man, something's going on. Things are strange in our society today." Can you say amen to that? I mean, we didn't wake up to a world that our mother woke up to, or our dad woke up to, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, especially 50 years ago. Things have changed, and the level of confusion that is in our world right now is unprecedented in my lifetime. And so we're challenged like never before to not conform to this world. And I want to deal with how to establish a biblical worldview, but I also want to pull out this word "transform," because we're not only told here not to conform to the world, but the answer for not being conformed to the world is to be transformed. And the way I'm transformed, which is a type of metamorphosis, is by the renewing of my mind. I need my mind renewed. I need my mind renewed. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 that his word cleans our mind. It washes our minds, and that we are clean through his word. And I need my mind purified. I need my mind cleansed. Somebody said, "I've been brainwashed." I needed my brain washed. It has some filth up in there. And the word showed me what was in my life that didn't belong there, what had me corrupt in my own thoughts because of what I had poured in my life. Psalms 19 verse 11 tells us that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart need to always be acceptable in God's sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 119, verse 14. Then over in Psalms 119, verse 11, David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I need his word to set up my view and to set up parameters in my life and to establish what God calls holy and what God calls unholy and what God calls clean and what God calls unclean. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. I want to dig into this whole idea of viewing the world and how we see the world, and I've got an example in Scripture that I really hope we have time to dig into. But this is going to be a sure enough Bible study. So look at your neighbor and say, "Let's get into it. Let's just get on into it." I want to show you some things here. All right. So if you would go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll kind of start there. Do I view the world through the lens of God's word? If you are a parent, am I teaching my children through the lens of God's word? Am I viewing the world and teaching them to view the world through the lens of God's word? Watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll look at it down in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse number 3. When you arrive there, say amen. And notice what he says here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, or the God of the age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So a part of our world's system, and you have to agree to this, a part of our world's system and the systems of this world is to keep the mind blinded from the truth of who Jesus is, to keep the mind blinded from the truth of God's word. And so when we look at just about every platform in our world, from social media to news media to what comes out of Hollywood, all these platforms, we see this complete denial and rejection of truth in God's word, because the God of this world is not going to use his platforms to promote Christ. And so all of these platforms that feed our lives, things that we see and read and watch that feed our minds, are there to blind us from the truth that is in God's word. Now, when you consider what Jesus prayed over in the Gospel of John in the 17th chapter, where he says that he prays that we would be in the world, but that we wouldn't be of the world, in John 17, verse 16, he then says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And that word sanctify means to separate, to set apart, to sanctify them, set apart, make them different through thy truth. So when you go back, if you would turn back over to Romans 12, we'll see in verse 1 where the setup happens, where we're called of God to present our bodies this living sacrifice, where we're living holy or sanctified and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And the way we do that is by not being conformed to this world. Well, how am I to overcome this world? How am I to look different, walk different, talk different, act different, behave differently? I need my mind renewed. And what has God given me to renew my mind? He has given me his word. Sanctify them, Jesus said, John 17, 17. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them different through thy word. It is his word that changes me. It's his word that separates me. Before this service is over with, I hope we deal with these two things, and it is my plan to deal with these two things. There are two things that the Lord has given us so that our lives can be transformed, so that we can live differently. And what he has given us is his word and his spirit. His word and his spirit is all I need to be transformed. I do not have to be the old version of me. I do not have to be the way I once was. His word and his spirit gives me the power to walk in newness of life. I don't have to live like I used to live, think like I used to think, act and talk like I used to talk. No, his word and his spirit gives me the power to walk in newness of life. And that is a word that we're given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Old things passed away, all things become new. When? When I am in Christ. When I am in Christ, when I am in his word, and when I am walking in his spirit, that's when I begin to walk out his perfect will and perfect plan for my life, which is the objective, by the way. That's the objective of Romans 12, verse 2. The reason God is saying, don't let the world shape your ideology, don't let the world shape your view, don't let the world establish the narrative of your life, the reason why I don't want the world being the author over my life and the authority over my life is because I want above anything else for the will of God to be done in my life. And if I'm living conformed to this world, I'm living contrary to the will of God being done in my life. Now, the will of God, you think about that for a minute, the will of God. We all might have a different spoken word and purpose individually for our lives. But there is one thing that we all have common. That is, there is one thing that every single person of the sound of my voice has in common, and that is this. The ultimate will of God that we all share in common is to live a life that brings him glory. To live a life that brings him glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So if you are a mechanic, then do your thing for the glory of God. If you are a school teacher, then teach for the glory of God. If you are a judge and you sit on a bench, then make judgments that bring God glory. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what that thing is. If you're a student, then be a student and bring God glory. If you're an athlete, play the game in a way that brings God glory. God's perfect will for my life is that I bring him glory. If my life's not bringing him glory, then I am not fulfilling my purpose. I exist to bring him glory. Say that out loud. I exist to bring him glory. And that is more than congregating in an assembly like this and offering up praise and surrendering in worship. No, it's how I treat people. It's how I pay my bills. It's how I treat my neighbor. It's how I live my life. It's how I conduct myself around other people that brings him glory or not. Amen? And God is saying, you cannot look like this world and bring me glory. You cannot be conformed to this world and bring me glory. If you're going to bring me glory, don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed, have your mind renewed, and then set out to see my good, acceptable, and perfect will done in your life. The will of God being done in my life. What's one thing that we all share in common that is God's will for every single one of us? That we bring him glory. That we bring him glory. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to this whole worldview and deal with this just for a moment. How do I view the world? How do I make judgments upon my life? How do I view the world? And what is a worldview? Here's the definition of a worldview. A worldview is the way someone thinks about the world. The way someone thinks about the world. It includes your beliefs about God, creation, humanity, moral order, and purpose. All of those things are shaped by my worldview. How do you feel about God? How do you see creation? How do you see humanity? What is your moral order and purpose? All of that shape your worldview. Let me break those down individually. God. God. To whom or what do I ultimately answer? Do you have a godly worldview? Do you believe at the end of it all, you will stand before God? And ultimately, my final answer for my life goes before God. Not my friends, not my coworkers, not my family, not my neighbor, not who's in power. The ultimate one that I have to answer to is God. That will shape your worldview right there. Amen. If everybody knew they had to stand before God, it might change the way they treated one another. Amen. So it starts right there. Number two, creation. Creation is what establishes reality. How do I view creation? Do I see it as the result of evolution, that everything just evolved this way? Or do I see purpose in creation, and that purpose is revealed by design, and that God's creation is His, and if He is the author of creation, then He is the authority of creation, and man can only go so far as an authority within God's creation, and man must understand that the ultimate authority goes back to God. How do I view creation? Number three, humanity. Humanity. Who am I and how did I get here? Who am I and how did I get here? Am I the result of my mom and dad getting together, or was there a bigger purpose? And I'm telling you that there was a bigger purpose, because God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you and ordained you. You are not just a product of your mother and your father coming together. You're the product of an almighty God that saw you before conception. We as believers, through the lens of God's word, believe that life began in the womb and purpose began in the womb, that God had a plan for your life before your mama even knew you were there. God knew you were there and had a plan for your life. God makes no mistakes. Hallelujah. How do I view humanity? How do I view mankind? Do I see man as made in the image of God, like God's called me to see man? God's called me to see all man, old, young, black, white, rich, poor, Hispanic, Heinz 57. God has called me to give a common respect to all man, recognizing that all mankind was made in the image of an almighty God. And God is so serious about it that in the book of James, He says, don't bless me with your mouth and then look at a man made in my image and curse that man made in my own image. How do I view humanity? Do I see man as made in the image of God? If I do, then there is an honor and there is a respect that I'm going to give mankind. Hallelujah. If I see God as creator, if I see God as the author of humanity, how did God make man? What were the distinctions that God put in? What does His word say? What did Jesus say at the beginning? Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 6 that in the beginning God made man male and female. Those are the two distinctions of the way God created man. Do you view the world that God made man male and female? Doesn't matter if he's white, black, Hispanic, Italian, Asian, Heinz 57. It does not matter. God made man male and female. Those are the two distinctions. Do you view the world that way? If so, you view it through the lens of Scripture. But what is our world trying to get us to do? Close this and view the world through TikTok and view the world through social media and view the world through some ideology that is completely contrary to God's word and science. You say science? Yeah, because science is a bit, but true science is knowledge gained by observation. Knowledge gained by observation. That's what the word science actually means. And science and God's word do not conflict. But man's word and science constantly are conflicting. All right, number whichever one. Number four, moral order. Moral order. We live in a world right now that is embarrassed to proclaim a moral order. What is moral order? Here's the definition. How do I determine what is right and wrong? How do I determine what is right and wrong? Who gets to choose what's good and what's evil? Does man make that choice? Is that an individual choice? There are countless videos and studies done on this where in our world today, people are afraid to say something is either right or wrong because they don't want to be offensive. They're concerned about giving their answer because they want to please everybody, to the point that folk won't say what's right or wrong. Is it right to steal from someone? You ask that question, they say, well, it's based on the circumstance. Is it right to kill somebody? Well, you know, who am I to judge? Is it right? And people are afraid to give an answer that no, this is good and no, this is evil, because without the word of God, there is no moral order. And we need God's word to establish a moral order. That's why even in our own country, in the United States, if you visit Washington, D.C., over 3,000 times in the Washington Mall, over 3,000 times there is a scripture that has been engraved in the buildings and monuments all around the Washington, D.C. Why? Because originally there was an establishment that our order had to be based on scripture, based on the word of God. Did you know the Liberty Bell has 2 Corinthians 3:16 written on it? Do you know that, or did you just know there was a crack on it? Because all I got when I went to school is that the bell had a crack. I did not know that the verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, was written on that bell. The world hides these things from us because the enemy does not want you and I to have a biblical worldview and to establish a moral order, that there is a right and there is a wrong, there is good and there is evil, and man does not have the right to establish either one. They were established by God Almighty from the very beginning, that he is the author of what is good and he is the author of what is evil. And if every man stuck to God's law, there would be peace on earth. In other words, there would be no problem with the law of God and the word of God. If we kept just the Ten Commandments, there'd be perfect peace on earth. Nobody would steal from nobody. Nobody would lie like a rug. Nobody would kill nobody. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? God's word will work. And number five, purpose. Purpose. Is there a reason and purpose for my existence? Is there a reason and purpose for my existence? And the biblical answer, the word of God answer, is absolutely, that everything created has a purpose, and that God didn't create anybody or anything that doesn't serve a purpose. You are a purpose. What we like to say around here is that you are a purpose with a name. You are a purpose with a name. Your name just gives identity to the purpose that God has given you. Everybody has a purpose. Amen. And you might not know the details of your purpose, but I can tell you the overall picture of your purpose, and that is your life exists to bring God glory. So a biblical worldview is an overreaching view of the world based on God's revealed truth, the Bible, which directs our life in the world. Your worldview, listen to this, your worldview will shape your values, which will shape your behavior, which will shape your culture. So the culture of the world, the culture of any society, is established by behavior. And behavior is established by values. And values are established by how you view the world. Too few believers are living out a biblical worldview. In other words, we're more loyal to all this mess that's in the world than we are God's word. We're not living out God's word. We don't view the world through the lens of Scripture. We don't vote through the lens of Scripture. We're not living through the lens of Scripture. I'm speaking corporately of the body of Christ. And until the church rises up and says, okay, I am to be an ambassador of the will of God in this earth and to be used by him and be in this world and not of this world, we're never going to make a difference. We can't be world changers when we're letting the world change us. The world is changing the church. The world is changing preaching. We've even had people rewrite the Bible so that it can be changed to fit the world. We're changing everything to get more like the world, when we don't need to look more like the world. We need to look more like heaven. Amen. But this transformation of my mind and this renewing of my mind doesn't happen without truth. And you'll have people tell you, well, there is no absolute truth. And you just ask them if they're absolutely sure. And you'll find that, amen. Go back with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. Is this all making sense? And see, parents, we have a responsibility of shaping the worldview of our children. not letting the world shape their worldview. We have the responsibility of shaping the world, the worldview of our children, how our children view the world, how our children view other people, how they view society, how they view themselves. I don't want my child looking in the mirror confused about something they have no business being confused about, that they would not have been confused about had the world not pumped this propaganda and this mess and this perversion in their innocent minds. I wouldn't have this problem. I wish somebody would say it. I mean, I'm going to say it. Listen, when I grew up with a sister, and I have four siblings, but my older brother and sister, they grew up and they were out the house. And then my wife, my mom and my dad had my sister and I. And I don't know who does that, you know, how you get two out and have two more, but that's just the goodness of God. Or I wouldn't be here. And man, my sister would get out and play football, baseball, basketball, fishing on Toledo Bend, and people would call her a tomboy. But that didn't stop her at Woodlawn High School when the prom came around and homecoming came around from getting her big puffy dress and her makeup and her hair done and going on a date and end up marrying her high school sweetheart. None of that playing in the field, softball, basketball, football, fishing, stopped her from being a girl. And when I was a little boy and my sister wanted me to come in there and play dolls with her dollhouse, and I didn't want to play no doll, I wanted to go outside and play basketball, she would make a deal. Well, you play dolls with me for a little while and then we'll go outside and we'll shoot baskets. And my only deal was is I'm Superman. I ain't being no Ken doll. I'm Superman. So I went and got my Superman doll, my little figurine Superman, and I came in there, you know, in the Barbie house and I flew away. I ain't being no Ken. But there was no confusion. There was no confusion in my mind on why I'm playing with my sister and these dolls. Well, there was no confusion in my mind. Was there something different about me? Is something wrong about me? No, because in those days, that propaganda, that mess wasn't out there perverting the minds of innocent children. A girl could be tough and be called a tomboy, and that was okay. And now the confusion and the distortion and the perversion of our children, where they are aggressively going after our children. Why? Because it's easy to sell that mess on a child. When you get older and start realizing you got a beard, you're not confused anymore if you're a girl. All right, I understand how you're going to do me. All right. And boy, see, they'll call this hate speech. That's the world, though. But there might be somebody right now that's been listening to that mess or seen that perversion that needs to hear the truth. And somebody's got to tell the truth that when God made man, he made them male and female. Do you view humanity through the lens of truth, or do you view it in some new age movement that is based on confusion and distortion? Amen? It's not hate speech, it's truth speech. And I love you enough to tell you the truth, because the truth will make you free. And anytime you try, let me say it this way, and I'm gonna move on, because we're talking here about purpose. Your purpose will never go beyond what abilities God has equipped you with. God's not gonna give me a purpose that goes beyond what he equipped me with. So God's purpose for me was not to be a mother. Why? I don't have a womb. I don't have the ability to nurse a child if a child was given to me. I cannot produce life for a child. Can I be a daddy? Can I be a breadwinner? Can I be a provider and a protector and a preparer as a father? Yes, I can provide for my family. I can protect my family. I can prepare my family. Though I can be present for my family. Look at those four P's. I can be present. I can protect. I can provide. And I can prepare, but I can't birth. So you might see a television commercial with two men leaning over the little infant baby, but that better be his brother or uncle coming to look over. That ain't no way a baby came out of two men. And now we get this mess where we can't say mothers anymore. We got to say birthing people. That's that stuff coming out now. Birthing people. That's a woman. We got Mother's Day coming up Sunday. Mother's Day is Mother's Day, not Birthing People Day. That's what the world does. It sucks us in with a narrative and a propaganda, and then it threatens if you don't line up with the perversion and the lies we tell, then you will be canceled. You are a hater. Then the authorities come after you. You'll be fined. I couldn't even preach this legally right now in Canada. I'd be fined and warned and imprisoned. If we're not careful, that's going to happen right here in America. Well, our First Amendment guarantees us the right of freedom of speech. But if we don't start paying attention and voting in people through the lens of Scripture with a biblical worldview, we're going to put people in power that have a different worldview, and they're going to become very hostile toward people of faith, and we will have done it to ourselves when we live in a nation that is established through democracy and a republic where I get to democratically vote for someone that represents me. We've got to start putting people in power that represent us, not just in the White House and not just in the mayor's office, in the city council, in the DA's office. We need everybody in power representing who we are. But if the world can silence Christians by establishing this false narrative and ideology in the mind of a believer, then we become salt that's lost its savor, and we are light that is hid under a bushel in the midst of a dark society. The church needs to wake up and not be ashamed of viewing the world through the lens of Scripture. Oh, amen. All right, all right, all right, all right. Somebody said, I'll go back to Exodus. We will Sunday. Now watch this in Romans chapter 1. When you get over there, say amen. So we'll look at it in verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Well, let me back up for time's sake. Y'all didn't get that. Back up for time. I mean, I got so much time on the clock. Let me back up. Watch verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you act like, where you have lived, what you have gone through. It doesn't matter. Salvation is available to anybody and everybody. Hallelujah. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin may not be seen on the surface, but we all have that sin somewhere in our life. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do I get faith? By hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How? How does everybody get a chance to see the truth? Verse 20, for the invisible things of him, for the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So if you say there's no God, God says you're without excuse. How are they without excuse? He says, my creation speaks of me. You wouldn't hear a song and not think of a singer. You wouldn't see a painting and not think of a painter. You wouldn't read a book and not think of an author. How can you look at creation and not see a creator? That's what he's saying here. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is denying God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that happened to our leadership in this United States in the 60s when evolution took the place of creation in the public school system. Why? Because we wanted to keep up with the Russians, who at that time our leaders thought were going to beat us to the moon. Because they followed the teachings of evolution that came out of Germany that were written by Darwin and followed by Adolf Hitler. So becoming wise, we need to teach what the Russians teach. Becoming wise, we became fools because we took the teaching of creation out. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In other words, man started worshiping creation instead of Creator. And that's where we're at in this society right now. Creation is above all. I'm supposed to get rid of my gas stove to save creation? When I recognize that there is a Creator, I recognize that it's subject to the Creator. Creation is subject to the Creator, not man. If you carry your leaves to your neighbor's yard to burn because you don't want to add smoke to the atmosphere in your yard, you still put smoke in the atmosphere. We have not changed climate because we choose to buy our oil from the Middle East. We stopped all drilling. Gas prices skyrocket. We're still buying oil. Somebody else is producing it, probably in not the ways that we would produce it. That's how foolish people are. There's not really any desire to honor even creation. It is to take the place of God without a creator, using creation so that man gets more power. And that's what we are experiencing right now, is man getting more power through the prop of climate change. Well, I'm making some folk mad right now. All right, let me get back to this word. But see, that what I'm trying to show you is that when you don't have a biblical worldview, it's so easy to get off. You find yourself in the woods banging on a drum, worshiping a tree, and hugging trees. Well, I'm going to have some folk mad at me. So watch this. He says that in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. A turtle's egg has more protection in our country than the womb of a woman. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. And when man started putting creation above creator, God said, you know what? If you're going to put me out of the equation, I'm going to allow something. And here's what he does in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. God said, you're going to put me out of my own creation? Well, I will give you up. I will turn you over to your own foolishness. Verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, women left men and went to women. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error that was meet. Why? Why was there a movement of women turning from men to women? Why was there a movement from men turning from women to men? What's happening with society? When you took the creator out of creation, creation got confused. And the thing is, it's been a slippery slope. Not only have we gone from women leaving the natural use of the man leaving the natural use of the woman. Now we've gone down this slippery slope that there is no male and female. You choose that. That's what happened when you take God out. And we ain't even seen the end of it yet. I talked to one of our students the other day that was telling me at his school, children are now identifying as animals. And they are decorating their face and coming to school dressed as animals. It's, they're just that. No, there is deception. There is deception that's taken over the minds of our children. And what I'm so upset about is, why isn't somebody saying something? Why isn't somebody preaching? Why, parents, we've got to get this thing together before this thing goes further than we could have ever imagined. This all starts when I change the way I view the world. So verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, we took God out of knowledge. And the church took God out of knowledge. You say, no, we hadn't. We believe in Sunday school church. No, we took God out of knowledge when we thought that a Christian education wasn't good enough. When the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You either believe that or you don't. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does that mean? If I really want to have true knowledge, it begins with honoring God, honoring the one who started it all, honoring the one who has the authority over it all, honoring the one who created it all, and honoring the one that I will one day give an answer to. That is the beginning of knowledge. You take God out, and what am I left with? I don't want a knowledge that is godless. And that's where our world is today. And God says in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. My mind is lost. My mind is gone. Reprobate. To do those things which are not convenient. He said, you're going to begin to live a life that with a mind that's reprobate. It's lost. It's deceived. It's gone. Why? Because you did not retain God. You did not retain a moral order. You did not retain truth, and you lost your natural mind. And look what he says comes out of that. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That sounds like our world. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, watch this, but have pleasure in them that do them. They become the heroes on TikTok. They become the heroes on Instagram. They become the heroes of Snapchat and every other platform that launches this perversion and this mess that might be on your child's phone right now. And what are they called when they gain thousands, if not millions, of followers? They be called influencers. They're called influencers, and they're influencing our generation. And if we're not careful as parents, they're influencing our children. If we've not taught our children how to view the world through the lens of truth. Let me say this, and then we're going to turn somewhere else, and everybody will be able to breathe, all right? Do you know the Bible supports true education? I'm going to give you five things. Number one, the Bible teaches history. It supports the teaching of history. Genesis 1 through 11 is history. Number two, the Bible supports the teaching of science. Science is knowledge gained by observation. You can determine what temperature it has to be for water to become ice. You can determine what temperature water has to be before it boils. Just keep trying it, test it, and observation will give you facts, truth. Science is knowledge that's gained by observation. When have you seen a monkey that wasn't quite human? And if monkeys become humans, why are there still monkeys? Can you observe the creation of man and woman? Is it true even after death? Yes. You can identify a skeleton as man or woman, even if you didn't have DNA. By just studying the pelvis, because the pelvis of a man is different from that of a woman. Why? Because men don't have children. So there are differences at the very core, not including all the other factors. Number three, the Bible supports the education of English language arts. Just read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. God said everything starts with words. In the beginning was the Word. Study Proverbs chapter 8. It'll show you the beauty of language and how it formed the world physically, mentally, spiritually. Words are valuable. Words are powerful. Language is powerful. Our God is a creator. He made man in his image, which means man is creative. So every one of us possess some degree of creativity. That comes out of the Word of God. That comes out of the knowledge of God. Math. Math has an order about it. And the order can't be violated. You say, well, give me something on that. How about the book of Numbers? God numbered his people. Number five, social studies. This is one of my favorites. The Bible teaches social studies. You say, what? Yeah, social studies from the one who made man. And here's what God did to save society, to save man from himself. God, being the expert in social studies, gave us 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments, when applied, bring peace in society. If I kept the 10 commandments, I would have peace with my neighbor. There would be peace in our neighborhoods. God knew our makeup and knew our vulnerabilities, and that's why when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, outside of Egypt at Mount Sinai, he gave man 10 commandments. What was that? That was to give them a social order. That would protect man from himself. Of the 10 commandments, the first four start with how you view God. Why? I won't change the way I treat man till I change the way I see God. So therefore, the way I treat my neighbor is based on how I see God, which goes back to worldview. How do you see people you live with? How do you see people you go to school with and go to work with? How do you view them? Do you view them through the lens of Scripture, or do you view them through the lens of the Word of God? And our world is constantly pushing this propaganda that changes the way we see each other. It should be no marvel for anybody to achieve anything, because all man was made in the image of God and shares potential. The only thing that is different is the makeup of male and female. Women can do things men can't, and men have an ability to do some things women can't. You say, oh, you might get mad about that. I'm being real with you. If I don't have the first four commandments that change my view of God and show me how to live in line with him and his perfect will, that will affect the remaining six. And what stands in between, what's that commandment number five? Honor your mother and father. So what's God saying? Hey, the first four begin with me. The next one begins at home. And then the final is all about how you treat your neighbor. And so when we don't have a view of God right, it breaks down our home. And when our home breaks down, guess what? The streets break down. So God's social studies begins with him, then the home, then the streets. If you look at the streets and they're chaos and it's dangerous like ours are, then back up. There must have been something that went wrong at home. Then back up. There must have been some breakdown as it relates to the will of God. My point is do your own social studies, and you'll see that a godless society is a destructive and a dangerous one. Amen. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're going to close right here. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians 2:8 for your notes says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Are you changing the world, or is the world changing you? Now, let me read this as you go to 1 Samuel 10. I'm almost done. But please write this in your notes. It's Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. For you were sometimes darkness, Ephesians 5:8. You were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we were all once in our own darkness, but through Christ, we now have the light. Verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, vital, because it ties back to Romans 12:2. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Man, I should have had y'all turn there. Make sure you get that in your notes. Ephesians 5:10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So between verses 8 and 10 of Ephesians 5, he says, hey, you were in darkness, but now you're light. You become light in Christ. You live as children of light and prove what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of the Lord. My life should demonstrate what's acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So he's saying, not only is God saying, don't be a part of that darkness, correct it. And as unpopular as this message will be, because I've been doing this for 28 years, and I know what's popular and what's not. As unpopular as this message is right now, not that it needs to be defended, reproof is what generally, not y'all, but folk don't like. And preachers don't like. I don't like it. I'd rather be preaching something else. But God says, not only do you not fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, reprove them. Somebody needs to correct. Verse 12, listen to this. For it is a shame even to speak of all those things which are done of them in secret. So God says we ought to have such a standard, such a sanctity about our lives as it relates to the world and its behavior that we don't even speak. We won't even name it. We won't even bring it up in a conversation just how twisted and perverted it is. God says that's how distant I want you from it. God's word wouldn't even speak of all the details of perversion and corruption. It wouldn't even speak of it. It's a shame to even speak of those things. Any culture is defined by two things. Any culture is defined by two things. What is disciplined and what is celebrated. Your home, the culture of your family. What do you discipline? What do you celebrate? A school, what do you discipline? What do you celebrate? A city, what do you discipline? What do you celebrate? A country, what do you discipline? What do you celebrate? There's your culture. Right now, perversion is celebrated. Because it don't matter if you're saved or lost. It doesn't matter what you do, when you do what you do, when you do what you do. I don't need to know what you do. Why do I need to celebrate what you do when ain't nobody in the room? Why does that have to be your new identity? If that's what you do, then that's you. I don't need to know that's what you do. And now when you do something that's public, we got to know what you, we don't need to know you do. This is the first blank to have achieved this. This is the first blank to have achieved that. I don't need to know your sleeping habits. Since when does that become a part of identity and achievement? But that's where we're at right now in our world. Why? Because our world wants to celebrate. When's the last time you seen marriage celebrated? Hey! When's the last time you saw a man and a woman and that was celebrated or having children celebrate? It's not a part of society anymore. It's not something. Men aren't even celebrated anymore. Women aren't celebrated like they used to be. We celebrate perversion. By the way, next week we're on to another scripture, so just take a deep breath. Verse 13 of Ephesians 5, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, in the midst of a dark society, there's got to be light. The light's got to reprove it. The light's got to show it for what it is. Without light, we just stay in darkness. Then he says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right, let me tell you why I had you turn 1 Samuel 10. Let me just tell you why, and we'll pray. In 1 Samuel 10... God is going to call the prophet in verse 25 to write the manners of the kingdom and give it to Israel's new king, first king, Saul. Why is this important? Why are we studying this? Because God wanted Israel's first and new king to understand kingdom manners. And so he had the prophet write the manners or the behavior that was acceptable to God's kingdom in a book and then give it to the king. He said, this is the standard. That's exactly what Jesus did in the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount. He gave us manners, and the word of God is our manner. In other words, this is how we lead. This is how we govern. This is how we influence. God was not going to have Israel with this king that didn't know his way. So he says, Samuel, write it in a book and give it to the king so he'll know my way. Why? So that he can run this kingdom through a biblical worldview. But that's not all that he gave him. He didn't just give him his word. He gave him the Holy Spirit. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came over him as he prophesied the word of God, that when the Holy Spirit came over him as he prophesied the word of God, that he was turned into another man. Look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, read the rest, and shalt be turned into another man. What transformed Saul at the beginning? God's word written in a book given to him and God's Spirit. What's going to transform you and me so that we can be in this world and not of this world? His word and his Holy Spirit. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What transforms me? His word and his Spirit give me the power to walk in newness of life. So I don't look like this world no more. I don't talk like this world no more. I don't live like this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. What's changed me? His word and his Spirit.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.